Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Human remains have been found near Tok. An Alaska State Trooper dispatch says the remains were discovered Monday inside a partially buried freezer about 100 feet into the woods off the Tok cutoff near mile 112. It says Tok-based troopers went to the area after receiving a tip early Monday morning and were joined by troopers from Glen Allen and investigators from Fairbanks. The trooper report says the freezer and remains were transported to the state medical examiner's office in Anchorage for examination and identification. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has the highest COVID-19 case rate in the state. According to yesterday's Alaska Department of Health and Social Services pandemic report, the borough's average daily case rate for the past 14 days was 41 per 100,000 people. The Mat-Su region, which has led the state for many weeks, fell to second with a new case rate of 38. The statewide case rate was 21. The Mat-Su continues to have the lowest COVID-19 vaccination rate at 28%, followed by Fairbanks at 33%. The statewide vax rate is 42%. The DHSS report listed 130 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases. The new cases confirmed Monday included 40 in Fairbanks, 20 in North Pole, 11 elsewhere in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and 1 in Delta Junction. Among other new cases around the state, Wasilla had 24 and Anchorage 19. There were also 8 new non-resident cases identified statewide, including 4 under investigation in Fairbanks. 8 new COVID hospitalizations were reported, with 40 diagnosed and 2 suspected COVID patients in Alaska hospitals. 5 were on ventilators. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District will be offering the job of interim chief school administrator to Karen Moline. Moline is currently serving as the state's deputy commissioner of education and early development. The Board of Education reviewed applications from 6 candidates and, meeting last night, unanimously selected Moline. Contract details will be worked out, and the job will be formally offered to her at a May 4th school board meeting. Moline will serve for 1 year while the board works to recruit a permanent replacement for Superintendent Karen Gaborik, who is retiring June 30th. Moline is a certified teacher and has a bachelor's degree in elementary education from the University of Alaska Southeast. Before joining the state education department, Moline worked for the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District as a student support specialist. The Fairbanks North Star Borough hosts a town hall meeting tonight on the FY22 budget. Mayor Bryce Ward says tonight's event is at the Centennial Center Theater at Pioneer Park with COVID-19 safety measures in place.
We do have a capacity of 50 folks in the auditorium to come down, ask questions, and provide us their comments.
Residents can also participate online via Zoom and Facebook Live and can fill out a telephonic comment form on the borough website if they wish to share comments over the phone during tonight's meeting. In a third and final budget meeting this past weekend, the Assembly went through several sections of the plan, including school district funding, and then voted to recommend the spending plan. A public budget hearing is scheduled for May 6th. 15,000 military service members will participate in a large-scale training exercise in and around Alaska beginning next week. Northern Edge 2021 will involve all 4 branches of the armed services. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
This year's Northern Edge won't quite be the biggest of the biennial exercises that have been held in recent years, but it will be the most widely dispersed. With operations on the ground and in the skies over the state's enormous training ranges, military installations, and civilian and dual-use airfields in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, King Salmon, and Cold Bay, to name a few.
A lot more distributed operations that we've had in the past.
Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Michael Boyer is a lead planner for Northern Edge, and he says the exercise will bring together personnel from different branches of the military along with their equipment to train and test their ability to jointly respond to threats in any of the domains in which they operate, on land, in the air, at sea, as well as cyberspace and outer space.
Put all the pieces of the puzzle together in one large venue.
Boyer says service members typically participate in exercises involving their own branch of service, and he says Northern Edge enables them to experience joint operations with other branches that mirror the complexity of 21st century warfare.
So we can work on the gaps and seams between services, identify them, and also give opportunities for our younger generations to see the big picture and help grow our future leaders.
Boyer declined to talk about the scenario that'll play out during Northern Edge 2021, so as not to give participants any sort of heads up about what they'll be encountering. He offered a generic response to a question about whether the exercise will include intercepting foreign aircraft that enter Alaska's air defense identification zone.
We'll always keep an eye on it. We'll always remain postured for events. But beyond that, I really can't make any more specific comments.
Hawaii-based Pacific Air Forces organized this year's exercise, which Boyer says will be the biggest to be held this year in the Indo-Pacific region. This will also be the first Northern Edge to include an aircraft carrier strike group and a marine expeditionary unit, both of which will operate mainly out of vessels in the Gulf of Alaska. The state's two Air Force bases will host most of the other services' aviation assets.
Most of the aircraft will operate out of Eielson. And you will see some aircraft in operations in and around Fort Greely, along with the ranges associated with that facility.
Operations also will be conducted out of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Boyer says aircraft participating in this year's exercise will include the F-35B, the Marine Corps' version of the Air Force F-35A that's being based at Eielson. But the Marines' F-35 is a jump jet, which can take off and land vertically without a runway. Boyer says people who live in communities near the participating military installations will likely see and hear a lot of aircraft activity during the exercises, which will end May 14th. He says the Air Force will comply with all airspace restrictions and will do all it can to limit aircraft noise in Delta Junction. I'm Tim Ellis.
Rivers are beginning to break up in the interior. During a weekly breakup teleconference yesterday, National Weather Service hydrologist Karen Endress said she'd received reports of ice moving on several rivers, including the Chena, 40 Mile, and Tanana.
And it's down about the Nenana area right now.
Nenana Ice Classic manager Sherry Fornes says the Tanana River ice is still holding where the tripod is set up in front of the city, but that conditions are deteriorating.
We're starting to get a lot of darker spots on the ice, which indicates that the ice is rotting. We've got water running on the south bank here in the proper of Nenana where we can see it. Upstream from us, probably about 3/4 of a mile to a mile, there's a big area of water where the ice is, just dissipated.
Fornes says the Nenana River, which flows into the Tanana just downstream of the city, went out last weekend. Fornes says a transition to cooler temperatures will slow breakup, but that the tripod will likely come down within the next week or so. This year's Ice Out guessing game jackpot is $233,000. An investigation by NPR in the Marshall Project reveals that Alaska is one of many states that takes Social Security benefits from children in foster care and does so without notifying them. Alaska Public Media reports that NPR reporter Joe Shapiro found that the state of Alaska took $1.3 million in Social Security benefits from foster children in 2018 and $1.2 million in 2016. Speaking on Alaska Public Media's Talk of Alaska yesterday, Shapiro said the money is significant to children.
Fewer than 10% are going to graduate from college. A third or more are going to deal with homelessness. Large numbers of them are going to deal with being unemployed. And a lot of that is the problem of not having money.
Children are typically entitled to those benefits because a parent has died or because the child has a physical or mental disability. The benefits amount to hundreds of dollars per month and are being rerouted to state agencies instead of going to the child. The state of Alaska is currently facing a class action lawsuit to stop the practice, which is legal. A state spokesperson told NPR that, quote, the agency, like any parent, uses kids' funds to pay for their daily expenses, such as shelter and food, rather than just giving them the cash, unquote. I'm Dan Bross.